This morning we are starting a new sermon series, and I really like sermon series because it helps us know the Bible because we go through it one book at a time. There are times when there's something else preached, but it's good to go through books of to the Bible, work through them, that we can know what God's word is saying, and also, well, how does it change my life? And I pray this morning that the book of Jonah will speak to you in a way that maybe you've read it many times. Maybe you've heard it in a kindergarten. Maybe you heard it in Sunday school, on a show, wherever. But I want to ask you, let's go to the book of Jonah and see what's going on there. We're going to do the first half this Sunday, and not next Sunday. The Sunday after we will do the second part. So it's a two-part series, and it's good to give you one Sunday break before we continue. But so the title of this morning's sermon is When Running Meets Grace. In the book of Jonah, we see so much, but before I go there, I want to ask, have you ever felt or heard God call you to do something that goes against everything you thought you knew about God, about yourself, or about your calling, that it goes against your comfort zone, your culture, or even just against your unsanctified character, that you're saying, well, yes, God, I will do anything for you, but maybe not that. Maybe I'll obey you in the easy stuff, but that area, no, God, I don't know. Then you shut God out, and you go, maybe I heard God wrong. Let me just to continue. And you try to move on, but just chaos erupts in your life, whether it's your life, circumstance, situations, or just in your spiritual life, you feel that there's chaos. God, why are you silent? Why are you not speaking to me? Well, maybe God will speak when you've obeyed this one, and then he will speak into the next one. That's sometimes how God works. Nathan likes to do this when we ask him, or it's a new thing. This morning it happened that we asked him to do something. And then instead of doing the something, he ran past me and said, I'm hiding from my mom. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he hides because if we can't find him, then he can't do what we ask him to do. Bedtime is his favorite. Then he runs and he hides behind the bed that, from my point of view, I cannot see him, but I know where he is. And then he lies there and he's like, Nathan, I found you. It's just this adorable thing. But we sometimes do that where we hide from God, into the point that we sometimes shut out his voice and saying, well, if I just keep myself busy enough, then maybe God will not speak to me. And I tried that for a few years and realize it doesn't work at all. It doesn't work because God will not stop pursuing you because he loves you and he cares for you. But sometimes God calls us into things that we resist. A friend of mine, Justin, he says that normally when God calls you to a nation that you're like, no, God, not that nation. That's the nation we're going to go. Because that's sometimes how it works. He's a missionary at OM. But if that is you this morning, I just want to encourage you with what happened to Jonah. And I don't normally do this, but we might end up reading all of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2 because I just find it difficult to preach Jonah without reading Jonah. It's a narrative. It's not something we can necessarily break, but I'll try to paraphrase why I can and read why I can. We are a growth Bible church, so we're going to read some Bible this morning. But I want to begin with chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, and it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose, so to flee to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went on board to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you know anything, you know that you cannot escape the presence of the Lord because He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere, at all times, everywhere. You cannot run from Him. You cannot hide from Him. Everywhere you are, God is there with you. That's God, because He's big. He's magnificent. So you cannot outrun God, but Jonah, here he is. It's not his first rodeo in prophesying. He's a known prophet in that time. If you read through to Kings and to Chronicles, his name comes up. So it's not the first time that he heard God speak and then he said, oh, what is this? Let me run away. No, he's a prophet. He's a seasoned prophet of the Lord. And here God calls him to do something and he's like, and let me go as far as I can go. Now, the interesting thing is what we sometimes don't ask is, why did Jonah flee? Did Jonah flee because he was afraid of the Ninevites? Or was it something else? And I leave that for you to decide this morning what you think it was. Was he afraid of Ninevites or was it something else? But before we get to the something else, let's just explore a bit about the background that we can understand. That Jonah prophesied during the rule of King Jeroboam II. And at this time in Israel's history, they were having favor. They were doing good. They regained some of the land that was lost to them by to conquest. And Assyria was very weak at the time. And now God speaks to Jonah and says, well, go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. Go to your enemy. Go to that evil, vile city that skins their enemies alive and they impale captives. It's not a nice nation. And God's saying, their sin has not gone unnoticed before me. Go to them. And and Jonah wasn't just maybe scared of Nineveh. He didn't want them to be saved. Because he knows when God does something, he does it. And when God wants to save someone or a nation, he saves them. And Jonah, maybe in his mind, thought, well, if I go to Nineveh, God will save them. And maybe I don't want them to be saved because they are evil. They are our enemies. Jonah was a patriot. He was a lover of his nation, and he loved his nation maybe a little bit more than he loved God or wanted to obey God, because all his life as a prophet, he prophesied in the favor of Israel. And now he's going to their enemy nation to prophesy to them. And what if God saves them? What will then happen to Israel? Well, we know God, what God did. Spoiler alert. God saved Nineveh. And we also know that Assyria came against Israel and led people into captivity. But more on that on the next part. So God calls Jonah to this cruel, violent nation that he despised, the enemy of Israel, to call them to repentance. And Jonah is the only prophet in the Bible that attempts to run from God. And he fails miserably. But he runs because of his love for Israel clashed with God's compassion for the lost. That he feared the Lord with his lips, but he resisted him in his heart. And that's not a great place to be. That we can also become more passionate about our comfort zone or our cultures or our opinions of God's people that God is calling us to reach. So needless to say that in the book of Jonah, Jonah is not the hero of Jonah. God is the hero. But also that you know, God is the hero in every book of the Bible. But God raises our people and He uses them for His glory and for His unto purposes. And Jonah was one of these people that God used for His glory to preach the good news. But God is the hero. He is the victor. That because God is showing Israel that His love is not exclusive just to them. It's for all the nations. From the beginning, in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, God gave Abraham a promise that through you all the nations will be blessed. God wanted to reach all the nations from the very beginning, and He wanted to do it through Israel. But Israel became exclusivistic in saying that, well, we are the saved ones and you are the enemies. But now God is calling Jonah to love the enemies, or to show that. And God speaks to Jonah and tells him, go to Nineveh. But he runs and he goes to Joppa and gets on a boat as far as possible, just to put into perspective. I have a picture here to put up for us. That is Joppa to Nineveh, 885 kilometers. If you drive by car, that's far. So I don't know what form of transport they used that day, most likely donkeys. And you can imagine 885 k's via donkey and foot is a very long distance. But Jonah flees all the way to Tarshish, which is about 4,000 kilometers away. And Jonah thinks, well, if I can just flee there and I'm there, then God cannot call me back. And then we read from verse 4 to 6 what happened. And the irony is that nowhere is far enough to run from the presence of the Lord. And apologies, the projector is a little bit out. But anyway. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hauled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down in the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And it's interesting that Jonah, in the midst of this chaos that erupts, he goes to have a little sleep. He goes to have a little nap. That just because you are comfortable in the chaos, just because you can function in the chaos, does not mean that you've gotten away with not obeying God. I think you have to be, well, I think to be at a place where you can sleep amidst the chaos that erupts. Maybe Jonah was there and like, well, if I die, that's even better. And we will see that in a few verses, that that was his heart, that maybe if I die, that would be better, because then I cannot go to Nineveh. If I'm dead, then there's no voice. Not thinking God can raise another prophet, but anyway, we are stuck with the Jonah. And God is using Jonah. And they cry out to their false gods, which is something so interesting, that those who are experiencing the absolute chaos that Jonah is going through, they are crying out to their false god while Jonah is running from the one true God. The irony in that, it is interesting. And then it goes on that they said to one another, well, let's cast lots. Let's do lots. And the one on who the lot falls, he must give an explanation to what is going on in the situation. And then they cast lots, and lo and behold, because God is sovereign and in control, the lot falls on Jonah. Their means of wanting to find out what is happening, God just supersedes that and let it fall on Jonah. And then they ask Jonah, well, what is this? What is happening? And Jonah says this. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, verse 9, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. The God who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He was running away from God because he, in his heart, he is disobeying. But the spotlight is on Jonah. The spotlight is on Jonah. And then they go on to ask him, what shall we do with you, with the situation? And Jonah said, well, just throw me overboard. Let me sink, let me die, just throw me overboard. But I think it's an interesting place to be, where you are fully in a space of accepting the consequence of rebellion against God. It's saying, well, if I do things my way and it falls flat, then so be it. If I continue in the sin and I face so the consequences, then so be it. And that was Jonah's attitude. He says, well, just throw me overboard. And these sailors, they went, well, no, not yet. Let's try to row. And the sea grew worse, that they had to throw Jonah overboard. But the magnificent thing and the interesting thing is, in verse 14, where these sailors that just a few moments to go, they were crying out to their own gods. They respond with this because Jonah said, I'm fleeing from a God that created the sea and the dry land, and this sea is now coming against them. And they're like, what have you done? Obviously, this God is very serious. And so therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hauled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. They totally changed their lives because they've had an experience and an encounter with the true God, and they've seen His might. They've seen His magnificence. They've seen His power, that this God is serious, because the raging sea came to stand still, or this raging seas, the moment Jonah was off the boat. And I think for a sailor in that situation, I've seen those videos of the Nordic Sea, how the waves, it's frightening when you see the ship, how the waves plays with these big ships as if it's nothing, and in a moment, it's still. I think, yeah, that was something interesting. And they totally changed that Jonah becomes a missionary despite of his disobedience, despite of running. God still uses his life to reach others. And I think the theme becomes evident is that you cannot outrun the grace of God. You can try and you'll be in turmoil. And throughout this turmoil that you experience, whether it is from your own rebellion or other people's rebellion, or just life in general that's throwing everything at you, and the sea just gets worse and worse and worse, that in the midst of that, God comes and He changes a person. That God comes and changes these sailors. They were lost sailors, and they found salvation. And in that moment, the focus goes back to Jonah. He's accepted his fate. He's accepted that I would rather die than to do that one thing that God called me to do. I would rather be thrown into the sea. And the moment Jonah is in the sea and he's busy sinking, God sends a great fish. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I don't like using pictures of whales, because it doesn't say a whale, it just says a great fish. But we can, through research and things, gather that that's maybe the only fish big enough to swallow a human. And there's one girl in class one day, speaking to her, teacher, speaking about Jonah. This teacher said, there's no way that a fish could swallow a human being and the human being survive. Because although the mouth might be big enough, the throat is not big enough. This is the reasoning of the teacher. And this little girl, smart as she was, she said, well, it was a great fish, or a whale in this scenario, but when I go to heaven, I will ask Jonah. And then this teacher responded, well, what if Jonah is not in heaven? And the little girl's like, well, then you can ask him. Moving along. That the sea and the great fish and the belly of the fish all represent something in Jewish symbolism. Although these were real true events, they symbolize chaos, they symbolize the unknown, they symbolize all these things, and it just goes to show that there's no place too chaotic that God cannot save a human being from. There's no space that God cannot reach in to save you from. There is nothing. I so often hear people say that I've messed up too much. I have done it too many times. I have disappointed God. Well, the very fact that you still have breath in your lungs shows that God has not given up on you, and there's still more than enough time. But I suggest repent and turn to the Lord. But this narrative of I've messed up too much, how is that even possible? While you're alive. because God can save anyone from any situation. Prisoners in a prison are being baptized. They are turning to the Lord. It's happening in South Africa prison right now, as I've shared earlier. That is something so amazing. It just goes to show that these hardened criminals, they are experiencing the grace and the salvation of the Lord. And it is so awesome and magnificent. But Jonah, despite trying to flee, accepts his fate, goes into the sea. He sings, and God appoints a fish to save Jonah. And what happens there is, some say it's a heart change that happens to Jonah. Although in chapter 4 he moans a little bit about that heart change, but we will get to that. But here, Jonah prays, and we get insight into what happened in that final moment. And it says in chapter 2 verse 1, then Jonah prayed, said to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me, so to take my life. The deep surrounded me, weeds were wrapped about my head, and the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed up upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake the hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And you see this, what is happening in the belly of this fish, is that Jonah is... he's saying, thank you, God, for saving my life. I cried out while I was sinking, and you saved my life from the impossible sinking down that sea. Sometimes we can feel so overwhelmed by what is going on that we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think Jonah, the more he sank, the more he realized that this is the end. This is truly it for me. And God came and he sent a fish. Despite his rebellion, despite his disobedience, God came and he saved him when he cried out. And that just shows us how good and how great God is, that there truly is hope when we call on the name of the Lord. That he will not forsake you, he will not leave you, he will be there when you call on him. Even in what seems to be impossible. If whatever situation you might be in feels so impossible that nothing can be done in the situation, and you just say, maybe God can do something, you will see God will come and he will do something, because those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But sometimes we get stuck in this corner where we feel we don't have any moving room, and we've tried all the options. You've done the maths on your finances. You've thought about the relationship space you're in. You've weighed the pros and the cons, and you just realize that everything leads to a dead end. But God. If God can send a fish into the middle of the ocean to save Jonah in his rebellion, God can save you from whatever it is that you are facing. And that in this change that Jonah experiences, that his heart was hardened against Nineveh because he didn't want Nineveh to be saved. Or maybe he was afraid of Nineveh, but I'm leaning more biased. You can make up your own mind. I'm leaning more towards him not wanting Nineveh to be saved. Because the end of chapter 4 gives us insight into that. But Jonah experienced the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that he maybe never experienced before, because he has lived as a prophet, always obedient to God, until this moment in his life where he disobeyed God and he ran away Maybe he never needed that grace because he had all the self-discipline he needed. He had all the following Torah law down to a T. But the moment he truly needed grace because of his own choices, he received grace and mercy and forgiveness. Maybe Jonah needed to uncover and experience God's grace so that he can go and give that to Nineveh. Because he needed to understand that God loves the worst of the worst. And I think sometimes we can weigh sin up on a scale and say, well, I might just be doing this here and there, but at least I'm not doing that. At least I'm not in prison doing those kind of things. But I think the worst crime you can commit against God is the crime that Jonah so committed, in total willful rebellion against God and saying, God, I reject what you want to do in my life. God, I reject sending a message of hope to those who need it. And Jonah experiences that grace, that Nineveh, that the world so desperately needs. And that is the message of Jonah. It is that the world needs the hope. Jonah didn't understand the hope. Jonah didn't understand the grace until he experienced it for himself. And Jonah discovered this. And when we realize that the world needs what we've received from God, and it's up to us to take it to the world. See, Jonah is about mission of God, wanting to save the lost. But sometimes we feel that, God, I'm not in a place to be used by you. I'd rather run away. But through the turmoil, through the going or the running away, God comes and he changes your heart and he purifies and he changes you. Because spiritual growth happens when you raise your hand and you start walking. When you stay still, there's not growth. Growth comes in movement, and movement is when you step one foot after the other saying, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who should I pray for? Who should I reach out to? What do I need to read? What do I need to study? Tell me, God. And you move forward. And that's. So I just want to end with this, that Jonah ran, but God pursued him. Jonah resisted, but God's grace was greater. Running away from God never works. It never works. What will happen is there will be a change in your heart, in your life. And then you'll eventually come to a point saying, Lord, you know everything. As Peter, after Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? After the 3rd time, Peter broke down and said, Lord, you know everything. Just that surrender of saying, Lord, you know. I surrender. If you are at a point where you've been resisting God or you're running away from God, and the only thing that is left to do is to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I've tried it my way and I'm sorry. I rebelled and ran away. But instead of repenting, you just jump off the boat and seek deeper. If that is you this morning, I just want to encourage you and say that you cannot outrun the grace of God. You cannot outrun the grace of God. When we resist God's call, his grace still pursues us to redeem us and realign us back to himself. He truly leaves the 99 for the one to pursue those who wander away. And if you are sinking and don't know which way to turn, stop running, stop resisting, stop excusing, and start turning to God. Because it's so easy to say, no, God, I want to do it my way. No, God, I don't want to do that. I'll much rather do that. God, why don't you call me for this rather than that? And it's like, no. I know where you will be best. Because God knows. Just turn to God and give your life into his hands. Because he is gracious. And he's so good. That Jonah in the belly of the fish experienced the grace and forgiveness that God called him to preach to Nineveh. That he's calling us to live so that the world can come to know Jesus, because the world do not know Jesus yet. And he gave his son Jesus to die in our place, to save us from hell, to restore us back to himself. And there is nothing nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not even the depths of the ocean or the belly of a fish. You are forgiven through Christ. You have new life, and sin and shame no longer separate you from God, because Jesus paid the price. So you can have life in abundance in this life and eternal in the next. So turn to God and follow Him in obedience. It might feel that the world is caving in. It might feel that the waves are crashing against your lifeboat or whatever situation there is. And one thing we are promised is that God is with us always. We just need to turn to Him. Let us pray. Father, I thank You that we can know Your love for us. And even though these sermons feel, oh Lord, any sermon but this sermon today would have done, but You've deemed it sufficient for this day. And I just pray, God, that You come and search our hearts, and where we are running, where we are in rebellion, Father, I just want to say, forgive us, Father. I'm sorry, Father. And I pray that You will lead us and guide us, and that You will change this heart of stone with a heart of flesh that will say, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. Use me for what You want to do, Father. And as You use me, I know You will change me, because You are just that good. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.